Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Martha Beck Life Coach Training. This is a coach-the-coach demo for the Living Space Tool. This is Gretchen Pisano, and I'm here with Renee Sievert and Chris Brandt. You ladies want to say hello?
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
We are going to demo the Living Space Tool, so you have an opportunity to hear what it sounds like from both a coach and client perspective. And then after we finish the coaching process, we're going to transition into the three of us reflecting on the process, what we noticed, kind of what we looked for, coaching tips along the way, so that you can hear that and allow it to inform your own practice. The Living Space Tool is a version of metaphor coaching. It's a more directed version than having the client come up with their own visualization. We're actually using their living space as the metaphor. And the reason for that is that the theory is that everything in your living space says something about who you are. And whether you're walking your client through their entire home or whether you are doing a more targeted approach where you zoom right in on area of least satisfaction and area of most satisfaction within your home, either way, you'll find a lot of really rich metaphor that you can use to continue the coaching conversation with, you know, how is this like that? So Renee is going to be our client, and Chris is going to be our coach for this one. One thing to keep in mind as you listen is that all three of us are master coaches, which basically means that we have been underway for a good amount of time with both our coaching practice, but also with ourselves as our own ideal clients and doing plenty of work on ourselves. So we really want you to keep that in mind, that one of the distinctions will be that the tool and kind of how it works, the depths that you can go will be different depending on where your client is in their process. But this for sure will give you a great place to start. So, Chris, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. So, Renee, are you all set?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, Renee, you're familiar with the tool, obviously, and I just want you to give me a place to start. Where in your home is the room that when I talk about the Living Space Tool, what's the room or what's the space in your home that feels like it's the least welcoming or the least satisfactory to you? Where's that spot that bugs you the most?
Right now, the spot is my closet.
Mm-hmm. Which closet?
It's a walk-in closet that is just mine. My husband kind of has his own closet in another area, so it's all mine.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about it. What's going on in your closet?
Welcome to my world. It's a really cool walk-in closet, and it's got like sliding mirror doors, you know, on the outside, and you know, you can't when you walk into the bedroom and those doors are closed, you don't even realize there's a closet there, and it's fairly spacious. When we first moved in about three and a half years ago, it was so organized. You know, I had, you know, work clothes that are like dress up, get in front of the room, workshop clothes in one area. I had, you know, casual clothes in another. I had T-shirts all folded, you know, in nice stacks up on top. And it's not that way anymore right now. Mm-hmm. So we had a little event about two months ago. One whole shelf actually came off of the wall. We realized the people before us had not put it up using the mollies, you know, the strength walls. They just put it up. And so this shelf that had all my T-shirts and a whole lot of other stuff just like came off the wall and came down. So, you know, we had to move everything out. It was all over the floor in the living room, and then my husband fixed it, and the stuff was still all over the floor in the living room. And then as one does when you're about to have company, it's sort of like, oh, no, we got to get this stuff put away. So, you know, we put the stuff back in, and he helped me, and I didn't have time to organize it. So it's in there in an unorganized way, and it really bugs me.
Mm-hmm. Sorry for the silence. I'm just taking some notes.
I think the other thing that is bugging me is there are things that need to go. Like, I don't use them anymore. It's not really part of my life anymore. What the heck am I doing keeping that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Again, I'm taking notes, so bear with me one sec. People talk faster than I write. So I heard a couple of things in your closet, but I want to just check on something. So you said that 3.5 years ago, I think that was when you said you moved in, but you said 3.5 years ago it was so organized. There was a work section, kind of, there was a casual section and so on, and it's not that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What happened 3.5 years ago? Did you move in? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we moved in because we really needed more room, and my father had moved in with us. He's 86, 87 now, and when he moved in with us, we had a small condo, and mm-hmm. the master suite was on the floor, the bottom floor, mm-hmm. and he can't do stairs. So at that point, we moved into our guest room mm-hmm. so he could have the bottom floor. And it was about, I don't know, we tolerated that for maybe a year, and I just said, okay, this is not working anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be living in my guest room, and I need more room. So really, when we bought this house, which, well, I just love it. It's wonderful. It's got an amazing view. I can breathe when I look outside. There's a mountain. I just hadn't realized living in a condo that every window you look out is more condo.
Yeah.
So this house is very spacious. Dad's got his space downstairs and his bathroom. We have all this space upstairs. And, you know, I have this beautiful deck with a view with, you know, the mountain in the distance. And it's really a nice living space for where we are right now in our lives. We also mm-hmm. brought in my 15-year-old godson to live with us. It's his second year with us. So we have like this family now. That's mm-hmm. my dad living with us downstairs, and Derek is, you know, living with us and going to school here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
so
I,
you have this beautiful space, this home,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
that allows you to have family, that allows you to see things that aren't other condos, that allows you to see beautiful light and mountains, and yet there's this space mm-hmm. that's all yours, that's just mine, you said.
Mm-hmm.
That you can walk into, that's really cool, that you don't even realize is there, except for the stuff that came down.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that came down, the words that you used were T-shirts, which sound casual to me. And it sounded like there was all this casual stuff that sort of ended up on the floor mixed together with other stuff. Tell me where I'm wrong about that.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah. Well, the T-shirts, I think, were the weight that was, you know, sort of along with jeans and other things that were on top of the shelf. But what was hanging under where the T-shirts were a lot of suits
uh-huh.
and, you know, things like that. And in my life right now, I mean, really that is happening in terms of it getting it mixed together because, you know, my Equus side of my business has taken off. And I'm not having to, you know, speak at big conferences and things where I was wearing suits or, you know, doing work where I had to go in every day wearing, you know, really dress clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my office, more times than not, is a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. But there are things in the closet that I could be getting rid of, and there are contracts and some work in my work life that I could be getting rid of.
You are doing the work for me, right? One of the things I was going to ask you about was things that
yeah.
need to go that aren't part of your life anymore.
As soon as I said that, it was like, oh, my gosh, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like this little event. As you said, we had a little event about
yeah.
2 months ago, you know, where the shelf came down because it wasn't anchored. And the weight of the business clothing, my words, not yours, but the weight of the business clothing brought the casual stuff down onto the floor as well as the business closing. And the casual stuff is the stuff where I'm feeling the energy. I'm feeling the enthusiasm. And, and the part of your business that's taking off requires the casual stuff.
Right, the jeans and the, and it's funny, I really hate to get rid of t-shirts. I have this wonderful collection of things from, you know, walks that I've done and places where I visited, and, you know, I love that. And I mean, I have way too many. There's no way I could be wearing every single one of them, but they're memories, you know. So I really like that part of it. And the jeans are key now. The jeans are awesome, part of my wardrobe for work.
So as you, you know, as we're talking here and you mentioned about the things that need to go, you brought up the word contracts. Tell me more about that.
Well, like I do some teaching for UC Davis still, and they send me to these places in California where, you know, it's really hard to send the staff for training. But it's easy to send one instructor. So it's a lot of it is work, in a sense, from my old business life, which is clinical teaching and training. And once I'm there interacting with the people, I love the work. But, you know, it's traveling to little bitty towns, and it's a day of travel and then one day of work and another day of travel, and I just get paid for the one day of work. You know, they don't really pay you for travel days. So just in terms of return on investment, you know, it's not that productive anymore. I'd much rather be, you know, sitting with another coach planning an Equus day or something like that rather than being on an airplane. The interaction with the people I love, and, you know, I love teaching. I love watching people learn and the lights go off. But it is cramping my calendar with things that could be cleared for what's really more my life right now. And then there's, you know, contracts with some social service agencies where I do in services, and again, part of that other part of my career, my life, that really feels like it's in a phase out. And I'm not sure why I'm still hanging on to it. I mean, well, I think part of it is the money. You know, I know that money is coming in, and it's a little bit. Well, I think probably like any other coach, you know, you hold on to the things that you think, quote unquote, are secure, instead of standing at the ledge going, okay, you know, it's time to leap.
So if I invited you to take one item out of that pile, something that doesn't, that needs to go, that's not part of your life anymore, what would that item be? Just one thing.
We're talking about the real world, right?
Well, right now we're talking about the closet, and then we'll figure out the real world.
I think it would be there's a red suit.
I have a red suit, too.
You know, one of those power suits, right?
Yeah.
And it was kind of like my go-to suit, you know, when I was going to, you know, do like a big clinical training or something like that. And especially if there were going to be pictures, or sometimes they videotape my trainings because they keep them for the staff, you know. So it would probably be that red suit.
So for now, let's not worry about the real world. I think you've got some ideas about what you might want to eliminate there, right? I think you've already been naming some contracts and some ideas that might be places you could go and look at more closely to decide whether or not they were worthy of elimination or worthy of your time, might be a better way to say it. But for now, what about just that red suit? What about just taking that out of the pile and allowing there to be one suit's worth of space more in your closet? Does that feel like a small enough turtle step that you'd do it?
It does, but it's interesting how I I can feel just like some sadness about it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not the doing, it's just allowing myself to kind of, I don't know, just maybe enjoy some of the memories of mm-hmm. of that suit and, you know, just allow a little bit of a, I don't know, I guess it would be a combination of grief and sort of celebration of moving on, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's never the suit. It's what does that represent?
Yeah, exactly. And notice right. how I didn't say get rid of it. I just said take it out of the closet.
Right, exactly.
But I think you bring up a really good point, and I noticed it in something that you said earlier about your T-shirts, because you said, and again, I'm paraphrasing, I don't think it's exactly how you said it, but you said, it, I have way more than I can need or wear, but you have a lot of T-shirts, and they represent memories and celebrations of places that you've been and walks that you've gone on and that sort of thing, and you really enjoy those.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are too many, and yet they're on the floor.
Yeah, and they're weighting it down.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about that and what's going on with that, if anything.
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is that why do I need a physical representation of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't the memories be enough? It's a metaphorical question and a existential question, probably. Right?
Got any answers? I don't know.
Well, I mean, really, the answer is I don't. I don't need a physical representation, but in the physical world, that's what I hold on to. That's what we hold on to.
Mm.
And it's funny. I'm the only one really that sees it.
Yeah.
It's not like I need that in order to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very cool.
Well, and you're in this closet. You know, when you talked about it initially, you said it's just mine and it's really cool. So perhaps the closet is a container in a way, not just for practical clothing and, you know, parts of your work and your various work lives with the suits and the casual stuff and so on. I imagine
mm-hmm.
there's some boots in there too.
Lots of boots.
I think that as you create a space that's just yours, perhaps maybe kind of, sort of, you could start imagining what it could look like in a way that doesn't bug you as much. And maybe that is, I'm just going to throw out ideas, maybe it's that, like the red suit, one T-shirt gets taken out of the pile.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like that. And I really like that you said it doesn't have to really go anywhere. You know, it could go into a big tub in the garage for now.
There you go.
That's a whole nother session.
That's a turtle step, right?
Yeah, the garage is a whole nother recording.
Oh, that's funny.
But because, you know, I really do believe in making room for new.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I make room for new, I don't know what that's going to look like, but those are new memories that will go in there as well.
Well, there's a couple ways to, you know, metaphorically, that shelf, the one that came down because it wasn't securely anchored to the wall, you know, before I said something about, it almost feels like you were given a little gift, like, I'll help you throw things into a pile and have to deal with the pile, right? The universe gave you a little nudge by nudging that shelf off the wall for you. The weight of those suits, the weight of those T-shirts, there's just a little too much of everything. One of the things that I often will say to my clients when we do the Living Space Tool and we start looking at spaces like this, closets where there's too much and it feels overwhelming to deal with a big pile, is I'll ask them, what if you just removed one thing? And I never say donate, throw away, keep, just remove something from the pile. But also another step that they'll often take is just to take a picture of the object and have that as the memory instead of the actual object.
Yeah, I like
that. So I invite you to think about that idea. Might not work for you for now. Might be something to aspire to. Who knows? Might not work ever. But I just
I have pictures of me in that suit doing that very thing that I was just saying that I, you know, I'm tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. I mean, the people are still fun, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm tired of that. I really like the new things that are coming out of what I'm doing and the new partnerships and collaborations.
Well, and the new things, too. Think about a new shelf.
Mm-hmm.
The shelf is another way to hold things. It's another way to store things or hold things or keep things neat and helpful and accessible for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what shelves do. So as you make way off the floor, you're making way for a new container or a new shelf to hold the things that mean the most,
yeah.
and that you love the most.
Yeah.
Just something to noodle on.
Well, you know, really, I don't wear T-shirts much anymore. They really are memories of a lot of, you know, travels and things like that. You know, really, even when I go out and do stuff at the ranch, it's not T-shirts that I'm wearing. It's, you know, like little shirts with a collar and other things that are a lot more, you know, absorbent and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. This is awesome. I love the tools, you know, that really gives us a new way, me a new way to just look at what are all those things representing and how is that playing out in my life.
Yeah, and just invite yourself to notice. Just notice mm-hmm. what's in the closet as you walk there instead of seeing it as this big pile of burden, of mess, of something to deal with mm-hmm. that's overwhelming. Perhaps it's just, wow, there's a whole lot of memories in there. Maybe if I take a few minutes, I can have a look at one of those and decide whether or not I need something or not, whether or not it's worthy of a place on that new shelf
mm-hmm.
that will be built and that will ground and hold things
yep,
for
I
me.
I love it.
Do you feel
yeah,
like
and
you
I
have
do,
some... Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, as you say that, I really have a visual of room on the shelf. So it's a new shelf, not only... you know, the shelf that there's room on it, and what could go there? I mean, really, I love the possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when we move into new homes, having just done so myself, I remember thinking, wow, and there's so much space, and this could go there, and what could happen? What are the possibilities, right? That's mm-hmm. what a shelf allows us, possibility. And this is a space that you said was just yours. So what would be a possibility for just you that feels inviting, delicious, satisfying, fulfilling, shelf-worthy?
Shelf-worthy.
Okay. What's worthy of that new space that will be created as you sort through and spend time with the things that fell on the floor?
I love that. What popped into my mind was dress boots.
Ah! Oh, my gosh. I could totally imagine you in those.
Yeah.
I'm picturing all kinds of colors and swirls and just seeing the grin on your face when you have them on.
I know. I'm grinning right now.
That feels good to me. I don't know about you, but it certainly feels good.
Yeah, and up there on the shelf where I can see them when I walk in, not in a box where they'll be kept just perfect. It's going to be right there where I can look at them. I like that. There might be dancing in those boots.
Oh, gosh, I hope I get to see that.
Yep.
Well, I feel like we've just started the process of opening you up a little bit, of having you, inviting you to look at your closet in a new way and to see
mm-hmm.
it as an opportunity for something new.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I feel like there've been some ideas tossed about. Is this a good place to stop? Do you feel complete with this tool? And at
I
this
do.
Point?
Okay. I do. I feel like there's some things I could journal about and dream about. I think it's great. Good stuff. Thank you.
Well, I'll be very curious to hear about the additions and the subtractions, both metaphorical and literal.
Yeah. Facebook.
Cool.
Okay, so we can transition into us kind of debriefing and observing the tool. I was wondering if I might be able to throw a couple of questions out that occurred to me. So, Renee, it would mean you would need to kind of stay in the client mode just a little longer. And for you cadets listening, this is not something that would normally happen, right? You would never tag team coach a client. But we have the opportunity here to be able to see kind of some of the other things that might occur when you get to be the observer. So, Renee, how would you feel about that?
I would love it. And, Gretchen, you know me, you know.
Yeah.
We know each other. And so I would love to hear your thoughts on what you observed and what came up for you.
Yeah, well, these are actually just a couple of actual questions, like coaching questions.
Okay.
That I'm curious about before we shift. And so I can either pose them hypothetically as we debrief or ask them as though you were still the client and see kind of what your response might be like.
I'm happy to be the client a little longer.
Okay. And, Chris, mm-hmm. does that feel okay to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. And then we'll just transition right into that. So one of the things that I heard you say is, and Chris actually paraphrased this back to you several times beautifully. But so you said, I have this space that's all mine that's really cool, but it's not organized anymore. So where else is your life like that?
Well, I mean, the first thing that popped into my mind is, you know, my work, because I haven't let go of some things, I am not as organized as I would like to be, mm-hmm. in terms of just making time / space mm-hmm. for, you know, being more creative on certain projects. I'm getting it all done, you know, but I don't have creative time because of organization issues.
So if we just were to kind of take that apart, that's your space and all your space, right?
Yeah.
And is it still really cool space?
It is because you know, it is rampant with possibilities and mm-hmm. where places I can go with it. But the day-to-day part, you know, is a lot like going into the closet going, now where was that one thing that I want to wear? You know, that also happens. Like, where is that one file where I had that research that I want to use in this, you know, this piece that I'm working up? It's very similar.
Yeah. So if it was more organized, you know, not even totally organized, but more organized, what do you imagine that would then afford you?
I would spend less time looking for stuff. Which okay. would give me more time for creativity, fun stuff, downtime.
Okay. All right, great. So I'm going to segue right into the next one, which, again, probably wouldn't stack, but interestingly just to kind of notice. Was you talked about the T-shirts, you know, and when I first heard you describe it, it sounded like, you know, there was a lot of them and they tore the shelf down. And then you say you really don't want to get rid of them because they're memories. So I'm curious, are there memories that you feel are weighing you down?
Ooh, that's a great question. Probably. I mean, there's this one group that I've worked with for many years, and probably the memories of the work that I've done there, they've kind of moved in a different direction, and the consulting I'm doing there isn't the same as I used to. So I think that thought of how things used to be has kept me there longer than I need to be there. So
if I were to ask you, in what ways could you keep the memories but make them lighter, what occurs to you?
Hmm. Well, two things popped into my head. One was a photograph album that I could put together so I'd have the memories and not have to still constantly be there. Mm-hmm. So the relationships that I have, I could still continue to nurture. Mm-hmm. But the real life next step would be to, a turtle step would be to cut my time in half and then in half again and set a time frame for that, mm-hmm. which would be a really cool way to move out of there.
How's that register for you on your body compass when you think about cut my time in half and then in half again?
Well, it's funny. As I said it, I turned and I could see the mountain and the, you know, that spaciousness outside of my deck. I'm like, yeah.
That where you said when you look out, you can breathe?
Yep, that's it. Feels good.
Yeah, great. And okay, so we'll just kind of put a bow on that one there if you're okay. I just kind of want to just get it kind of quick here. Like, this is just alternate questions that occurred to me because I was got the opportunity to observe and not be in the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious, from a coaching strategy point of view, I really liked the way Chris helped you identify, you know, one thing that you could take out of the closet, this idea of shrinking the change. If you were to stick with that thread and take the one thing out of the closet, which was the red power suit, and mm-hmm. Chris and I were to invite you to put one thing into the closet in exactly the spot that the red dress, red suit took, and you could put anything you wanted there. It didn't have to be something you owned. It could be anything you wanted. What would you put in the spot?
A really practical, useful, waterproof long jacket that I could use outdoors when I'm out working with people and horses or whatever.
Right.
That would be very practical, that would pack easy. That, I mean, I'm not going to use it very often, probably. I live in San Diego. It doesn't rain here that much. But on trips, if I had a go-to, and I, you know, I've seen stuff like that in some of the magazines, the horse magazines, and I would love that. I'd love to own one of those.
Yeah. It struck me when you were describing, you know, you said, I wore that suit when I was delivering something big in front of a clinical audience or I was going to be on videotape. And the thought that popped to mind is that, you know, the power suit. Is that, did I get that right? Is that how
yeah.
it feels to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So if you were to take the red power suit out and put in the waterproof long power jacket, do you still feel the locus of power?
I do, and I could see myself using that in front of groups of people in a whole different venue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, feels good.
So those were the three things I was just curious about. I think I wanted to just have the opportunity to model sometimes how you can pull a phrase out and say, how is this like that? And then also really like this idea of the way in which Chris invited you to take something out. And then, you know, what's that symbolism of what you're taking out? And if you could choose to put it back in symbolically, then what goes back in. So thank you for playing along with that. And we will, if you feel okay, is there anything else you want to explore on any of those three we just tapped?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. So let's transition out. We're now just kind of three coaches reflecting on the process. So, Renee, why don't you start as the client, you know, as having gone through as the client, you know, how did that experience feel for you? What worked really well?
I liked that Chris kept me sort of in the closet and in the metaphor world for a while, because it's easy for me and for most clients to pop out and immediately start thinking about how it is in the real world. You know, and I think that's true with a lot of the tools that we, you know, are using in Square 2 and 3. It's easy to get out into the other side of the brain and start saying, well, what am I going to do? But, get back in the closet, look at that suit, or look at the closet, what would you remove? I really like that. And then when I said in the real world or the closet, and she kept me in the closet, which I liked, because I was already going out into the things that I thought it meant. I love
the
that.
The closet is the real world.
I know, it is. And I'm going to come out of the closet. No, kidding. So that part, the other part was the, I loved that both of you tapped into the memory piece, because that, I mean, obviously that was something that was a bit of an aha for me. I mean, I'm self-coaching all the time. I'm asking people for input. My coach friends, you know, I have my own coaching that I go to when I'm stuck. And that was so interesting to me, because memories are very important to me. And, you know, that's, in the end, that's what we have. You know, nobody says, oh, gee, I wish I would have worked more. It would have been, I wish I would have spent more time or built more memories. So that's a big part of my life. And I loved the questions around that. And I'm going to definitely follow through with some writing about that. And they can clutter things and cloud things as well. So I think, you know, that would be a great thread to continue.
Yeah. Okay. And so then, Chris, are you good, Renee?
Yeah, the other thing I think I was just going to bring up is, and it's something that, you know, when I'm teaching, I like to really make sure everybody is clear on. You will hear something different than Chris hears, and another person listening will be hearing something different where they could have taken me. And they're all wonderful. They're all perfect, because it's what you hear and what your hunches and what your questions are and your curiosity. And that's one of the things I love about coaching, and one of the things I love about these tools is there isn't a right way to do it. So I appreciated both of you paying attention to what you heard and the phrase and the emotion behind it. And I think that's another part of the teaching, is go with your instincts.
And I would also add that certainly for cadets, when as you get opportunities and you have a client who's willing to have an observer on the phone, it's a really powerful thing. Like, it's not that often that I, as a coach, would get to listen to another coach work with their client. And so if you can have permission to do that early on in the process, and then the two coaches debrief, it'll just, I think, really continue to add things to your coaching toolbox in terms of how you phrase things, what you ask, because those questions wouldn't have occurred to me if Chris hadn't done the excavating that she was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why the buddy groups of three or more is really helpful.
So, Chris, let's transition to you. You know what? I mean, it's really quite different, right, working with a master coach and one that you know as well.
Very much
but,
so.
But, you know, in terms of the tool, like what are some, you know, how you thought, how you liked how it worked today, and what you always try to listen for, any pointers you would give the cadets?
Well, the thing that when I was taking notes was, as Renee was talking, I was really listening to the energy and just finding some phrases that felt like they threaded together. So just mine and was one that just came up for me a lot. And then one of the places I wanted to explore and somehow didn't, you know, because when you're following a client and you're meeting them where they are, sometimes the things you set down as what you think you're going to do or ask or say don't end up getting done, said, or asked. So one thing I wanted to follow up on was the whole, you don't even realize the closet's there. There felt like something sort of almost safe and sacred, or like there was this secret nest or secret space that Renee has that feels very precious to her and yet isn't functioning for her the way she would like, as in evidence by the mess and the shelf that's fallen down and all the things that we did talk about. So that was some place I wanted to go and somehow just forgot to, and probably would have come back to if we'd spent more time on it. But I bring that up because I think that happens a lot when you're in a coaching session. At least it does for me, where I if I'm not careful, I can get myself tripped up on, oh, I meant to ask this and I didn't, and I have to go back and I have to remember to do that. And yet, as Renee pointed out, what transpired worked well. There's no wrong way to do this because it's all about meeting the client. And so the one other thing that I loved that happened in coaching Renee is Renee just was right into the, oh, well, this is what I think this means in the real world. And I thought, oh, this is just so funny when you're coaching another coach and they've slowly been doing their work. So I found you delightful, Renee. It was just fun to do that. And I thought, well, yeah, we could spend all kinds of time going into the real world. She's already there. How about if I hold her here and just see what happens? So I was grateful that you noticed that because I really found myself wanting to stay there with you to see if there was something rich in there.
Yeah, it's a target-rich environment in there.
Yeah. Well, we've all got them, right?
You know, yeah.
Every one of us has got a closet like that or a space in our homes. That's why the Living Space tool is so wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I invite you, Renee, just to keep noticing memory. Keep noticing, you know, what is a memory? It's something in your head.
Yeah.
You know, it's a reliving of an experience. And do you need an object for it? Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe yes.
Maybe not.
You know, we all have things in our home that remind us of things or that symbolize things. But as we talk, you know, all these tools are talking about metaphor. They're talking about symbol.
Mm-hmm.
What's the symbol that serves you? What's the symbol that doesn't? So that was just something that popped up for me.
Yeah.
But I love working with Living Space, and I so loved Gretchen's questions. I just thought, yay, love that. Want to dive deeper there. Go for it, Gretchen. I mean, it is a luxury, and it's so much fun having another coach listen in and share their insights for all the reasons that Gretchen already mentioned.
Yeah. Some of the things I thought you did, Chris, that worked really, really well was that I thought it was great how you zeroed her right in, you know, like just kind of take me to a place that's of least satisfaction. And then I thought you did a really great job of kind of immediately shrinking the change. You know, it wasn't like, okay, so how are you going to get this closet to where you want it to be?
Mm-hmm.
It was really great to kind of be able to go in there and say, you helped her kind of see it a little bit differently, you know, so like what things got mixed up. You made the connection between this idea of casual, the t-shirts being casual, and kind of laid that out to kind of see if that would be something that resonated for her, which it completely did. I thought that was really terrific. And kept bringing her back to the closet. That's great. My whole favorite thing was the one where you said, I just invite you to notice. I thought that was terrific, right? Take the pressure off, just kind of invite you to notice. And then my favorite thing was what you did at the very end is you invited her to future possibility. So kind of allowing her to think about, wow, like, what would become possible if I had an empty shelf, both, you know, tangibly as well as more metaphorically, and what would be shelf-worthy? I mean, that was just because so often the clients are really stuck in what it is they don't want that they have. And so I thought that question was a really great way of pointing her towards a compelling future. And then when I had the sort of somewhat artificial opportunity to ask a couple of questions, but she immediately went to the photo album idea, like, oh, that could work, and then, you know, look at what could then be possible for me. I could cut my time in half and half again, you know. So I just thought that piece, I mean, what a gorgeous way to close the session and leave them in a place of questing between that and what would surely be the next session in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Fun stuff, you guys.
Yeah. I know. That was great. Thanks for letting me be the client.
Yeah. I think it's probably worth noting, too, that, you know, Chris, that you did that in that session in like 20 minutes. So in a typical coaching session, you have an hour. So if you spend about 20 minutes working with the tool, then you have, you know, 30 minutes to open up the coaching conversation around the results and insights of that tool and 10 minutes to kind of wrap it up and just allow the client to respond. So there's just a lot that can be done in a short amount of time. I think Martha refers to that as that kind of idea of precision or laser coaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very good point.
So before we wrap this one up, any other observations, Renee, anything, either one of you, Chris, you want to kind of state to the cadets?
I think I would just add that the Living Space tool is very much one where you are following along and really, you know, it's just a really great example for how to meet the client where they are. Just really notice what surfaces in you, in your body compass. Notice where you're reading some enthusiasm, excitement, higher level of energy, lower level of energy in your client, and just see if you can stick with that and help paint a picture with them. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
To that point, Chris, another thing you did that was really good was you used her words. So you helped her paint the picture, but you were using her words, like, you know how you said at the beginning about pulling threads through, like, I have this space that's all mine. You use the phrase really cool. I think that's really important in the Living Space tool, that you, as you're listening, that you're kind of grabbing their phrases that you feel have resonance and helping them by using their words.
Yeah, I think it's important not to parrot back. So it's more about phrases, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it really increases, I mean, it made me feel, first of all, very listened to, but also I realized as I was talking, and then you used the phrase back, I didn't realize I had said it that way. And so, and I think that's really key. You know, that is, in a sense, our subconscious, unconscious, higher self, you know, sort of speaking, and we don't realize that's happening as we do it. But when somebody's listening that closely, it feels really good to be heard and to listen to myself, you know.
Good.
Yeah. So, awesome.
Okay, so I think this is where we can wrap it. Oftentimes a coach might just, you know, as Chris did, invite Renee to continue noticing, and Renee would ideally kind of keep doing the work, even subconsciously, during her drive time, whatever it may be, and then in a couple of weeks when they came back together for the next coaching session, it may or may not come up. Chris might invite her to sort of reflect and see if anything else has come up since they've done Living Space together, or they just start anew wherever the client shows up on that week. But it really, it gives a nice touchstone if needed. So with that, I think we'll wrap this one.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.